All right, let's pray real quick. Dear Lord, we just come before you, and we just confess that that's our prayer this morning. That's not just a song that we sing, but God, I pray that that is the cry of our heart, that we need you, that if anything good is going to happen this morning, it's going to be because we met you here, we heard from you, and so God, that you would just open our eyes, that you would soften our hearts, that you would, you know, just give us a love for you. And just remind us of some of the truth we sang in that song. The reality is the only reason we can come into your presence is because you're our only hope for righteousness, because what you did on the cross allows us to be forgiven for our wandering, rebellious hearts. And so we thank you for that. We need you in order to know how to live life, and we need you this morning to kind of give us a correct, just understanding of who you are and who we are. It's in your name we pray, amen. All right, if you are up through sixth grade and you want to slip out, you're more than welcome to go to kids' church. If you want to stay in here, you're more than welcome to stay in here this morning. So we give you that freedom. My name is Brent, and I work with the youth and missions here at Normandale. And like Mason said, I am here because he's under concussion protocol, so I'm like the backup quarterback. I'll try not to throw three interceptions here in the first half. If it goes poorly, just know that, man, we would have rather had the first quarterback with concussion as opposed to that guy, all right? So come back next week, unless you really like this. And then there's that always the second quarter, the backup guy. We love that guy. And then there's a fight, which is really what we want. Start the quarterback controversy. All right. So that's why I'm here this morning. Welcome. I don't know if you think Mason speaks fast, but I at times speak really fast. I'll try to slow down, and hopefully I will. All right. So today we're going to continue in the Joseph, kind of walking through Joseph's life. Eventually we'll get to Genesis 40. But I'm going to give you the overview, kind of the big picture, before we just talk about this one puzzle piece that we're looking at today in chapter 40. I want to give you the overview of kind of what we've talked about to this point. I'm going to go ahead, and I don't mean to brag, but I'm kind of into jigsaw puzzles. Okay, I know that's I know it's weird. Right, to say that out loud, I know loses a lot of credibility with the audience. I know that's like. That's not a cool thing. I don't care, all right? I like jigsaw puzzles. I'm not, like, I don't, like, have them out all the time because they take up room. You have to have a table for them and all that kind of stuff. But I like jigsaw puzzles, okay? And so I don't know if you know much about jigsaw puzzles, but if I gave you, like, during this corona time, all right, we've had a little more time as a family. We've enjoyed it pretty much. And Jenna and I, we will do jigsaw puzzles. The other two, Macy and my wife, Nicole, they're out on that. And I get it. I understand some things I like that I get, like, not everybody's on board with this. Like, I understand when you see that, I understand people could say, well, soccer's boring to watch. I understand that. I understand when I say I like jigsaw puzzles. I understand there's people in the room who go, like, that's a waste of time. Like, Nicole, like, you put it, like, you spend time, hours putting this together only to destroy it and put it in a box. That seems ridiculous. Unless you love it, and then you know how great it is that I choose to waste time this way. All right, so if I gave you one piece of a jigsaw puzzle, like a thousand piece, we got into the thousand, we just stepped it up. We went to some that are a thousand piece. That's a big step for me. Maybe some of you are in the room, you're like, oh, we did the 2,000, and you're kind of judging me right now. But a thousand piece, if I give you one piece to this puzzle, and I said, okay, like, look at that piece. And tell me, what are we doing here? Like, what is that? You know, if it's a thousand piece, you're going to look at that and you're going to, oh, well, it's brown and it's got, like, some texture on it. It could be a chicken. It could be a shoe or a building. Like, you have no idea. One piece, you have no idea. So what do you do? I need to look at the box. The box or someone will have a, you got to look at the picture and you go, like, oh, no, that's the clown's ear. You're like, why are you putting together a jigsaw? I don't. We've never done that, but I'm saying, but like, you look at that and you start figuring out, oh no, I know exactly where that goes. So then you give me the pieces of the clown face. That's the creepiest puzzle ever. I've never done that. Just to say, all right, I don't want to totally lose my audience. But so then you begin to put together the clown face. And then it's terrifying. You'll never get that out of your head. Okay, but so what we're looking at today is I don't want to look at the one image, the one little picture, the one little piece where you don't really understand totally what's going on. I want to zoom out and kind of see the overall picture of what's going on, the whole picture, so we can see what's going on in Joseph's life. So here's kind of the big central theme we're going to spend time on today, and that is God is in control. All right, God is in control. God is sovereign, all right? So, yes, I heard one of you, amen. Let's go ahead and let's pretend at least. I won't try not to do this a whole lot, but I'll say this, and then afterwards you give us an amen because it sounds like you really mean it, all right? God is sovereign. Okay, that's cool. All right, that's good. All right, so I'll just say this. That sounds good to say God is in control, God's sovereign, and I think many of us believe that. But I will say there are going to be times in your life, there have been times in your life probably already, and there will be in the future, that will cause you to kind of wonder, is God in control? Like, is he really knows what he's doing? Because I'm not really, my circumstances would seem to indicate that God is not in control. And so we're going to look at Joseph's life, just kind of remind you of a couple of things, play it out, and then bring it to our life and hopefully apply this a little bit. All right, so remember, Mason, we've been on this for a little while. Mason talked about, did a good job at the beginning, talking about how his family was real messed up, all right? Real messed up. But Joseph was like the favorite son, all right? So favorite son, had the dream that someday his brothers and even his mom and dad would kind of bow down and pay homage to him. So, you know, at that point, you know, he's a teenager. Joseph's kind of thinking, okay, like, oh, and then his dad gives him the special coat, the coat of many colors, which honestly, always growing up in church, oh, that's a pretty lame deal. Like, you know, his dad had some money, and to give a coat, like, I know it's a great honor, but still, I would want something more. I'd, you know, miss some camels or something, but he gave him a coat. But at this point, Joseph in his life, this would be like, I'm hashtag blessed, you know what I'm saying? Like, okay, I got some weird family stuff going on, but I'm the favorite son. I'm not even the oldest son, but I'm the favorite son. Dad loves me, and I've had this dream that someday, like, the whole family's going to kind of, like, I'm going to be elevated above everybody else in the family. Hashtag blessed. Like, I can see, like, Joseph at this point saying, yeah, God is in control. God is sovereign. Like, I'm following God. I'm trying to do the right thing, and God is blessing me. Hashtag blessed. He feels it, all right, because his circumstances kind of say that. But then, you remember, keep going in the story, takes a turn. His brothers hate him so much that they're like, we wish you would die. Like, we literally want to kill you. No, we're not going to kill you. Instead, we're going to be better than that. We're going to sell you off into slavery, all right? Sell you off into slavery because we don't want to kill you. So the Ishmaelite kind of caravan came by, and they sold Joseph off into slavery. 17-year-old. Sold off into slavery, taken off. He didn't know where he was going, but he ends up going to Egypt, right? So at this point, what do you think Joseph's thinking? When he's, like, his brothers tell him, I hate you, I can't stand you, I wish you were dead, never liked you, and instead of killing you, we're going to sell you off into slavery, and he's going to be taken off in a foreign country. He has no idea, and he's going to be a slave. It's not like, well, I mean, that's still a new start. That'll be kind of cool. No, you're going to be a slave being taken off. At that point, like, you know, because this is the bad thing sometimes when we read these Bible stories, we kind of forget these are real people. These aren't like, you know, some kind of like, you know, Bible action figures and a cool story, but like Joseph is a real person. So he's being, as a 17-year-old, being taken off into slavery, his family, other than his dad, pretty much could care less about him. Like, at that point, I'm thinking he's probably thinking, like, you know, what is Instagram picture that day, and he's, you know, I don't know what he looked like. He's been carrying off the camel in the caravan, you know, be like, hashtag blessed, like, things are going awesome today, just got sold off into slavery, check that out, that's cool. Like, this would be one of those where And so let me ask you, and you don't have to really answer out loud, but is God still in control when Joseph is sold into slavery? He is. But there are times in our lives, and there's times in Joseph's life where the circumstances, you honestly wonder, well, if God is in control of everything, then why did this happen? All right, so then, you know, so that's kind of a bummer. I know that, because you think, like, you know, yeah, why did God allow that? You know, did he not pray the prayer of the hedge of protection around him that morning? You know, maybe the blessing song hadn't been written yet, so he didn't sing that, like, God shine his face upon me and amen, and, you know, just sing the whole blessing song. Maybe he missed out on that. No answer. God's in control, and that happened. All right, so then he goes to Potiphar's house. Sold into, he's a slave in Potiphar's house, but God, the Bible tells us in chapter 39 that the Lord was with Joseph. All right, I think in some ways that's to remind the reader that God hadn't forgotten him, like the Lord was still with Joseph, and so God blessed everything that he was doing in Potiphar's house. And so we kind of, you know, covered that. So he's moved from a slave to now a slave with, like, you know, which is still, we think, oh, that's pretty cool. He's like, trust, you're still a slave. It's still like, once again, you're like, that's not what you would think would be God's plan for your life. You know, like how you would want this to play out. But at least he's a slave with a lot of privilege. He's a slave that is now given responsibility. Potiphar seeing that everything he does is a great leader. Everything he does is blows up and goes well, and so he gives him a lot of leadership. And so at this point, once again, Joseph is like, okay, I feel like God is in control. I feel like I see how God's working this, and now God's getting me out of this. Like, now I God is, even through the difficulties, God is bringing me through this trial, and God is blessing me, and that is awesome. And then Potiphar's wife, with a story last week, Potiphar's wife accuses Joseph. No, Potiphar's wife makes the sexual advances, and here's the thing. This is the part of the story that always is kind of troubling to me, is Joseph did the right thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, Joseph resisted. He followed God. He made the right choice. So God is going to bless him, right? Like, because he's following God. So God is going to bless him. God is going to, you know, make his territory abundant, and God's going to make good things. No. God allowed that false accusation to get him thrown into prison. And so once again, when he's in prison, you just kind of wonder how, you know, what Joseph's thinking. Is he like, no, this is good. I know how this is going to go. When Joseph got thrown into prison, was God still in control? He was. There's times in our lives we feel it, and there's times you don't. When Joseph went into prison, God is still in control. But there's definitely things in our life that make us kind of question that and wonder, you know, why God allows things to happen. Verse 21, Genesis 39, verse 21, says, "But the Lord was with Joseph." That phrase is used three times in chapter 29, "But the Lord is with Joseph." And that's a cool thing. Many of us would like that. Oh, we would like that to be said, but the Lord was with Brent. We would want that. But understand, the Lord was with Joseph, and where was Joseph? Just got thrown into prison. So just know that the Lord can be with you. You can be right in the middle of God's will, and that still leads to incredible difficulties, incredible trials. God's not against that at all, of having difficulties and trials in our lives, as modeled all throughout Scripture. And so here's what I want to kind of ask us to think about. Would you rather have the Lord with you and him not answer the prayers like you're praying? Because that would not be Joseph's prayer. Like, God, I want you to be with me, and no matter, you know, like, if it takes me to prison, that's cool. Like, I just want you to be with me. That probably wouldn't have been his prayer, but God allowed that to happen. So would you rather have God with you through the junk of life? Or would you rather have God answer the prayers like you want them, be hashtag blessed, and man, you're just, everything is going well in your life, but you lose sight of God? And I'll just say, I think honestly, at times in my life, there's times when I would rather have God's hashtag blessing you know, whatever that looks like. Prayers answered the way I want them, I want him to answer my prayers the way I think they should happen, as opposed to just, oh, I'm with you, and it's going to take you through the fire, and it's going to take you through trials, but the Lord is with you. It's like, I'd thank you very much, but I'd rather just have life kind of American Christianity done like I want, and to where I'm going to church, I'm following God, I love Jesus, but, you know, it's not take it too serious, and kind of like you still kind of not all in all the time. And I think, you know, there's times where we just kind of would, like, we don't want difficulties in our life. I'm gonna go through a couple of things, just because the overall thing that God is sovereign regardless of our circumstances. All right, so just some specific things. This is a horrible message. I am a downer sometimes as a preacher. Okay, I'll just tell you that. But it's okay, maybe. All right, but so God is sovereign. So I want you to just think of worst case scenarios here. Because, like I said, because we could go, like, it's one thing to have a philosophy of, like, God is in control. But I want you to understand, like, Joseph's life. There's times you feel it, and there's times you don't. So let's go worst case scenario here with some things that may make you wonder, is God in control? All right, COVID. All right, worst case scenarios. We don't need to scream it out, because if you think I'm a downer, that'd be horrifying, right? But just worst case scenario with COVID. Like, is God in control? Ooh. I'm just saying, but that's where it gets real. Like, okay, I'm just saying, even petty things, like, for me, the worst case scenario, and you can play this at my funeral. Worst case scenario, I get COVID and die. Is God still on the throne if that happens? Yes. All right, play it at my funeral. He is. I'm not saying we avoid our responsibility because God's control. I'm not saying we don't wash our hands. We don't social. We don't do smart things. But I'm saying, like, God is in control. Because here, like, what if we never get a vaccine? God's still on the throne. What if a bunch of people die? God's still on the throne. What if we have to wear masks forever? You know, it's practically for me. I'm not as worried about dying as I am having to wear masks forever and not to get to go to restaurants. You know what I'm saying? It's my freedom. So really, and I'll be honest, like, church, like, I'm bothered with, like, not being able to, that not everybody, and I understand it, so you at home not hating, but, like, I want everybody to be able to be back together. And I want it to be normal. It may happen. That's what I want. That's my prayer. Right? That's what I'm saying. My prayer would be, Lord, bless me. Turn your face upon me. Shine upon me. Let us go to Chick-fil-A and get refills again. Let us all meet together at the church. Like, that's my prayer. What if God doesn't answer that? Is he still in control? What if a bunch of people die? Is he still in control? I'm just saying, you play out your worst case scenario, and God's on the throne when the circumstances dictate it. Like, oh, my favorite son, dad loves me. Oh, my brothers hate me, sell me off into slavery. God's on the throne the whole time. And that's not just me throwing out something. We're going to see how God is working in the story of Joseph. Okay, that wasn't controversy enough. Election. Huh? It's all going to be over in 2 weeks. Here's the candidate you should vote for. Just kidding, we're not going there. Here's a cool thing I ought to say. We got people in this room who, Democrat and Republican. You know why we're united? Is because of Jesus Christ. Has nothing to do with a political party, right? We're not that church, all right? So I'll digress. But I will say this. Worst case scenario of the election. The guy who you don't think should be elected gets elected. Is God in control? He is. And I don't care which side. I'll just say it. If Trump gets reelected, it's going to be fine. If Biden gets elected, it's going to be fine. What if that ruins our country and America crumbles and it messes up our tax and messes up the healthcare system? God's fine with that. What if America falls because of it won't fall because of the election, you know? But if it fell, I'm just telling you, God's okay. The nation of Israel, God allowed pagan nations to come and totally take them over. So God is not worried about the outcome of our election. And once again, I'm not saying don't take responsibility, don't care, and don't try to think through who you should vote for, and don't go vote. I'm not saying that you need to take responsibility, but understand no matter the outcome, God's in control. Even if you think it's the worst case scenario and this is awful, You think Joseph being put in prison, especially when he did the right thing, you know, like God's in control and it's going to be fine. Your health, you know, I'm just, you know, hit a, what's the worst thing that can happen? You know, you get a doctor's report and it didn't turn out the way you hoped and your health is not good. God's in control and he's got this. You can go on and on. Whatever your worries are, that's the thing that kind of, that when you see that God is on the throne and you're not, that's the positive of you thinking about like these difficult things that go on in your life, the worst case scenario. Like God's on the throne and it's going to be fine. So let's going to look at Joseph and kind of, because that's a great like philosophy to have, but we're going to see like the not looking at one puzzle piece, but see how God is putting this all together and we're halfway through it. And by the way, I'll say this, there are going to be times in your life when you're going to be able to zoom out and see how God worked these difficult things for his good, for your good, for the good of the kingdom. And there's going to be times, honestly, that he won't ever show you why you walk through a difficult time. And that's kind of one thing that we're trying to hit on, is that God is sovereign whether you get it or not, whether you totally understand it and it makes sense to you and logically you can get your head around it, like, oh, I now see why God did that. There's times that's going to happen, but there's times God doesn't have to answer to you. And so there's times when God is on the throne regardless if it makes sense to you or not. Okay, Genesis 39, verse 23. Joseph had just been thrown into prison because he did the right thing. He didn't, sin sexually with Potiphar's wife, and that got him thrown into prison. Hashtag blessed. All right. But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him, and he granted him favor with the prison warden. And the warden put all the prisoners who were in prison under Joseph's authority. And he was responsible for everything that was done there, and the warden did not bother with anything under Joseph's authority because the Lord was with him, and the Lord made everything that he did successful. All right, so right here you're seeing where God hadn't abandoned him, even in a difficult situation. God's restoring him. God's giving him leadership. God's giving him trust. So he'd been in the prison. We don't know. We know that he was sold into slavery when he was 17. Potiphar's house and the prison both combined. When he gets out of prison, he's going to be 30. So 13 years there in Potiphar's house and in prison. We don't know how it plays out. But we know he's in prison long enough to where, as we start chapter 40, he began to gain trust and was put in place over kind of everything that took place in the, this is the king's prison. This is like the I don't know how to say it, but they're the, I don't know, the special political prisoners. So he was in this, he was the one that Potiphar was actually over. All right, so chapter 40 is going to be good times. All right, there's certain stories that are like, this is awesome. Okay, after this, so you're going to get two new prisoners come into the prison. After this, the king of Egypt's cupbearer and baker offended their master. So the king of Egypt is Pharaoh. It'll be used interchangeably here. So you got king of Egypt. He has a cupbearer and the baker, and they offended their master, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with these two officers, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, and put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guards in the prison where Joseph was confined. And the captain of the guards assigned Joseph to them as their personal attendants, and they were in custody for some time. All right, so they're in prison. You got these two guys. You got the royal cupbearer and the royal baker. All right, so those would be pretty big jobs. We kind of like in the servant. That's a very trusted position. All right, I've already gone ahead and showed how cool I am with the jigsaw puzzle thing. I'll also go ahead and admit, I'll just put all the man cards on the table. I'm not a man. I drive a minivan, okay? I'm not trying to defend that I'm a man at all. All right, I've watched Downton Abbey, okay? I've watched all of Downton Abbey, all right? Yeah, okay. So anyway, so this would be like Carson, okay? This would be like the head, you know, so these are trusted officials because, and I'm really big into like British history because of our partnership with England and all that stuff. And so even talking about that, but the kings, like they're we think of the like being the court jester and like, oh, they're going to drink the stuff. And then if they die, they're like, okay, don't drink that. But it's really more of a big deal. Like they would make sure that the king didn't get poisoned, but they would also spend a lot of time with them and they would have conversations. So this would be a very trusted position to be in. So, but something went wrong. And so you had this cupbearer and the baker both, you know, offend the king and got thrown into prison. All right. King of Egypt's cupbearer and baker, verse 5, were confined in prison. Each had a dream. Both had a dream on the same night. Each dream had its own meaning. And when Joseph came to them in the morning, he saw that they looked distraught. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were in custody with him in the master's house, why do you look so sad? Okay. The dream interpretation. We're about to go to dream interpretation. I did some research on this, and I'm not going to go here today because I'm not an authority. But I will tell you this. I've never had a dream that has made me that distraught. And so I don't want to hate on you if you're big into dreams. I don't usually remember my dreams. I'm an amazing sleeper. I sleep very soundly, and I think you don't remember your dreams unless you're in the light sleep stuff. Now I do get up to go to the bathroom once a night. That's just what happens. You get older. It's awesome. But so here it goes. I'm going to throw this out here. I want you guys to interpret this. So last night, this is what I remember. And this is the other thing that's like, it's so weird. Okay, so I think I'm driving, but even I thought, then I got distraught. I think I'm driving, but I never saw myself in the dream. It's like I just see, but I'm thinking it's because I see my eyes. Like I don't see myself now, but I know I'm here. Did that blow your mind? Is that too deep? All right, so I think I'm driving. I'm driving in a parking lot. I think it's the Ridgemont. This is why I'm like, I would never, because it's always like, I think it was this, but I don't really. I think I was in the Ridgemont Mall parking lot, okay? I'm driving, and there were some guys. We were going to go out to eat lunch. I think this ties in. I don't even need to interpret my own dream because then that messes up. You need to be thinking about this. Like, you try to interpret it. I think it involves staff lunch because when I go out to eat with staff, it's like the guys and our wives aren't there, and that leads to some tension at times. But it's okay. We're good. Our marriage is good. But anyway, so I think it was some kind of a staff lunch. So Taylor Miller, this is why it didn't make any sense. Taylor Miller was there. Somebody like, who's that? He's Mason's brother. He's at another church. I think he had long hair, and he was thinking about cutting it. He was a youth minister. It was Taylor Miller, the youth minister, and his youth, but he's not now. You following? Makes sense? All right. So he wanted to cut his hair, but the youth were like, no, don't cut your hair. It looks cool or longer. And then Armando. I don't know if Armando's here. He's not here today. Call him out. Oh, no. Oh, good job, Armando, not even being here. Hopefully he's watching online. But he was there, and he was going to go. And then I think The Rock was there, all right? So that's cool. Like, I'm talking Dwayne Johnson. I'm pretty sure it was him. And so we were going to go out to eat, and then that's all I got. You know what I'm saying? So that's weird, and I don't usually remember, but I would never wake up and go, like, what does that mean? Like, oh, and Armando had a shaved head. So I think the hair meant something. I Googled last night as I was Googling dream interpretations. I was going from the biblical stuff, but there's a lot out there. I was a psychology major, so I remember there's whole deals of like dream interpretation. So you could go and get your dreams analyzed. And what I shared was probably too vulnerable. That was probably what I put out there probably means a lot, and I don't even know what it means, but that was probably group counseling that we just took place in. All right, so dream interpretation, I don't know. I don't put a lot of stock into it. I will say God uses dreams. Like, this is the specific thing. This dream that takes place, crazy, but God's speaking through this. And even throughout the Bible, God does do this. All right. I would say that that is not the main source of God's revelation. That's the Bible, okay? So if your dream ever doesn't line up with the Bible, don't go with it, all right? Because there's also been whole cults started out of, you know, dreams that God gave them, dreams and visions. So your main source of God speaking to you needs to be the Bible, wise counsel. Don't go too much with the Taylor Miller, The Rock, and Armando going to eat as some kind of a, what is God, maybe wants to start a church with, I don't know, whatever. Okay, so don't get too weird at that. All right, but so these guys evidently were incredibly troubled by their dreams because at this time, they believed that the gods spoke to people in their dreams, all right? And honestly, this is the God of the Bible speaking to them through this dream. All right, so Joseph's saying, why are you so sad? Verse 8, chapter 40, verse 8. We had dreams, but there's no one to interpret them. Okay, and by the way, in Pharaoh's court, Mason will probably hit this next week in chapter 41, they would have guys who are trained in dream interpretation. Like, books have been found that, and there's books now. Like, so you could see, like, and I'll watch, it's like, I almost walked through this, but I didn't want to be too distracting. There's this one video I saw on YouTube, and it's like 17 things you got to know about dream interpretation. And so I watched the first three, and I'm a big skeptic on most stuff. And so this was like, so one, I'll just give you this hint, is boxes. If you have dreams, boxes, there could be, you're hiding stuff. And if you open the box and nothing's there, maybe it's time for you to share. I don't know. That's just what I got out of that video. So there's books, and both in that time they would kind of tell you, like, oh, if this symbolism means this and all that kind of stuff. So Pharaoh would have next chapter. Pharaoh's gonna have a dream, and he's gonna call in his magicians. That always sounds cool, kind of Harry Potter-ish, you know, calling the magicians and the wise men to interpret the dream. Tell us what the gods have spoken through this dream. What does it mean? All right, but so these guys are troubled because they're now out of Pharaoh's court. They no longer have access to the magicians and the wise men. So they're like, we had dreams, and we know it means something because we both had a dream on the same night. So obviously it means something. I don't know. But anyway, so they're into it, and then Joseph says, don't interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dream. So at this point, he's like, well, God, the God I know, he could interpret this dream if he wants to, if it needs anything, if it means anything. So tell me your dream, and let's see. Once again, in the providence of God, and God, you see how God is working through all of this as it unfolds in Joseph's life. He's in prison with guys who came out of Pharaoh's court. They have dreams. God puts him there. God's going to, spoiler alert, God's going to interpret these dreams. It's going to happen. And then Pharaoh's going to have a dream later. And he's, man, I need somebody to interpret the dream. Who can do it? I know somebody. And all of this is moving in the big picture of where, even when it looks like God's not in control, God's working the big picture. Even in a way that Joseph wouldn't have said that. Well, God, you could have put me in Pharaoh's palace way easier than that. Let's not do it that way. But God's sovereign, and he chose that. All right. So Joseph said, don't interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams. All right, this is awesome. Now, so don't read ahead. And those of you that don't, I wish you didn't know the story. Well, that's horrible. I'm glad you know the Bible if you know the story. But just try to follow with me and tell me, does this, like, if you hadn't read, like, I'm going to tell you this. And just, it's like my Taylor Miller, Armando, Dwayne Rock Johnson, we're all going to eat lunch. Like, this dream doesn't make a lot more sense than that. But obviously, God said, yeah, this is exactly what it means, and it's going to go down that way. So the chief cupbearer, he told his dream. In my dream, there was a vine in front of me. On that vine, there were three branches. Everybody tracking? You feel like you're breaking the code? As soon as it budded, its blossoms came out, and its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. Make sense? Cool. Okay. And Joseph said, this is interpretation. The three branches are 3 days. And this kind of reminds me of, like, British literature when you're, like, having to read that. And you're like, oh, the hat symbolizes this. I'm like, I think it was just a hat, but whatever. Okay, so you got the three branches, and that represent 3 days. In just 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position. And you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand. You will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand the way he used to when you were his cupbearer. All right, so that's like good news. Like, that's awesome. The three branches, all that stuff basically means in 3 days, you're getting your old job back. You'll be back in the palace, and you're going to be, you know, the cupbearer again. Awesome. And then he goes on to say, and this is where, once again, you see kind of, like I said, you don't have to distance yourself from trying to know God's in control, but you can also take some responsibility. And then he says, hey, and by the way, when all goes well for you, remember that I was with you. Like, okay, so when you get out and you get to hang out with Pharaoh again and you have this important business, remember, like, I told you about the dream, okay? So how about a little something for me, all right? So, like, remember that. And he says, please show kindness to me and mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. For I was kidnapped out of the land of the Hebrews, and even here I've done nothing that they should put me in the dungeon. So it's like, I've done nothing. So just when you get out, just remember me, okay? That's all I ask. That'd be awesome. All right, and so then, that's cool, good news. Then the next guy, the baker, I also had a dream. Oh, this is so good. Because I get to see him going, okay, let's go. All right, let's tell the dream. All right, and the interpretation, he saw the interpretation was positive, and he said to Joseph, I also had a dream, 3 baskets. 3 days. Yeah, I got this now. Okay, 3 baskets. Of white bread. Uh-oh. I don't know. Does that mean something? 3 baskets of white bread were on my head. Okay. I don't know. On top of the baskets were all sorts of baked goods. Sounds delicious. For the Pharaoh. But the birds were eating them. That sounds bad. I don't know. I've not interpreted a lot of dreams, but that sounds bad. But the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head. And Joseph says, this is the interpretation. 3 baskets are 3 days. Just like, yes, that's great. And in just 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from off of your body. And that's where it takes a big turn. We're like, no, 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 no. You're crazy. I'm going to lunch with Dwayne Johnson. Don't you be bringing that crazy stuff in here. So it's like, yeah, so he says, so he's saying, The Pharaoh will lift up your head from off your body. And it keeps on going. Like, I'm just thinking how awkward. I don't know if there's a bunch of people gathered around, but you gotta figure the cupbearer's still there. And then the baker, how awkward would that be? You're getting your old job back. You're gonna lose your head. All right, but Joseph doesn't back up. And okay, Pharaoh will lift your head from off you and hang you on a tree. And the birds will eat the flesh from your body. See you later. I mean, like, how awkward is that? Okay, so here's a side note on that. Okay, when you are an ambassador for God, when you're speaking for God, there's sometimes you're gonna give like good news. Like God is gonna ask you to deliver good news and you're gonna give encouraging stuff. I'm not talking about weird, I'm talking about like just the gospel. Like that Jesus died on a cross, you could have forgiveness of your sin. Like that is good news. And then there's times when if you're gonna be an ambassador for God, if you're gonna speak for the King, you're gonna have to deliver news that you don't wanna deliver. Like, it's going to get, like, you're going to have conversations, and they're going to ask you questions like, I just did this with the youth on Wednesday, but it's one that definitely stands out. Like, is salvation, do I have to believe like you in order to be saved? Are you saying that there's salvation only through Jesus? Like, I can't believe in another religion, or I can't just be a good person? You're saying salvation only comes through Jesus? And when you answer that question, if you know what you know what I always say this, like the nice answer is no. Everybody believe what you want and it's all going to work out. Like that's a nice, just that feels good. Everybody believe what you want and in the end everybody's going to go to heaven. But that's not what the Bible says. And the real loving answer is to tell them the truth. I've heard it said this way. Like, if you go in and the doctor does scans on you and finds out you've got cancer, it's not loving to tell you, oh, it's all good. You're all good. Come back and see me in a year. Everything looks good. Like, that's not loving. That's, like, malpractice. Like, you know, that's awful. He's just signed your death certificate. So it's like, no, the loving thing is like, no, it doesn't look good. This is really what's going on. And that's the same. At times, if you're going to speak for God, at times you're going to be so glad. Like, man, I get to share this message. And it's awesome. And there's times you're going to go, yeah, I wish you wouldn't ask that question. Because, yeah, this is really what the Bible says. And it's not my message to change. Salvation is only through the name of Jesus Christ, and there's no other way to the Father except through him. And for me to change that is not loving at all. So Joseph said, this is what God told me, so I'm telling you. On the third day, which Pharaoh's birthday, He gave a feast for all his servants, and he elevated the chief cupbearer and the chief baker among his servants. And Pharaoh restored the chief cupbearer to his position as a cupbearer, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand, just like Joseph said. But Pharaoh hanged the chief baker, just as Joseph had explained to them. And yet the chief cupbearer, all right, so that dreams happened just like I said. It was God obviously sent the message and gave Joseph the ability to interpret it. And then the last verse here, once again, the little piece to the puzzle. Yet the cupbearer did not remember Joseph, and he forgot about him, and he was left in prison for 2 more years. That's the little piece where you're like, man, that doesn't really seem like that's unfortunate. Joseph's following God, and he's having difficult things, and God is in control the whole time, working, as you keep seeing the story unfold. God is sovereign, working his plan, regardless if Joseph loved it or not. He was working the whole time. He's in control. We're going to pray and wrap up this morning. Dear Lord, I just come before you. I thank you so much for loving us. I thank you for your word that doesn't change. I thank you for, even as it speaks to us, there's things that we love to hear out of it that encourage us, that remind us that we can go to you. And then there's times when it really convicts us of how we're living, and it shows us how selfish we are and how rebellious we are. And at times we don't love to hear those kind of things. So God, I pray that you would speak to us and that we would be quick to obey you, quick to respond. Help us to trust you, to know that you're in control, regardless of if we feel it or not. And help us to be ambassadors for you. It's in your name we pray, amen. If you'll stand, we're going to sing a couple of songs in response. Here's your response. It's honestly, trust God. No matter what your circumstances say, God is in control. He's sovereign. And so as we sing these worship songs, just remind yourself of that. Those of you that have never trusted him as Savior, no, that's the first step. Salvation is open to anyone who realizes they need Jesus as their Savior. And so that'd be a first step. If you'd want to come, Mason's up here, I'll be over here, and talk more about how we can pray with you about anything, or if you want to talk more about how can you trust Jesus as your Savior, we'd love to do that.